There is a Gemara in Brachas in Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph where the Gemara has a famous Kal V'Chomer. The Gemara makes the following very muchrach Kal V'Chomer. That if you, the pasuk says V'Achalta V'Savata U'V'Rachta, that you're supposed to bench after eating. So the Gemara says Kal V'Chomer. If you have to bench after a meal when you're already satiated, Kishu Savam Mevarech, Kishu Ra'av Lo Kol Shkein, when you're hungry and you haven't yet started eating, Kal V'Chomer you need to say a bracha. And that Kal V'Chomer makes a lot of sense. Meaning, it's, you know, when do you normally say thank you to somebody? Someone gives you something, right? So what do? Right away, as soon as they give it to you? Thank you. Do you then call them back up again after you use it and say thank you? If you're really good, you do. It's a really nice thing to do. But, like, it's certainly not second nature. It's certainly not something that, you know, after you've already used it, once, you know, well after you've received it, that it's certainly not normal to say thank you. You have to be trained to remember to say thank you after you've enjoyed what someone gave you. So if somebody gives you a gift, you say thank you. You may even send a card. But how often do you say thank you after having used the gift? So the Kal V'Chomer is a pretty good Kal V'Chomer. If when you've already eaten, you have to be Mevarech, ooh, then Kal V'Chomer, where it's so obvious that it's just basic derech eretz to say thank you at the very beginning when you first receive your meal. So Kal V'Chomer, you should be mevarich. There's only one problem with that Kal V'Chomer, and that is we don't paskin like it. Meaning, if that Kal V'Chomer were la halacha, then bracha rishona would be a din d'oraisa. We paskin bracha rishona is d'rabanan. So what is it that causes us to reject that Kal V'Chomer? There must be some flaw in that Kal V'Chomer, because any Kal V'Chomer that's 100% muchrach, it doesn't need a mesorah, it doesn't need it just needs to make sense, and then it becomes a din d'oraisa. So it has to be that there's something about that Kal V'Chomer that doesn't add up. There's got to be some pircha on that Kal V'Chomer. That's question number one. Second, in benching, we don't only thank Hashem for the food that we ate. We have a requirement to mention a whole bunch of topics in benching. We mention Bris Mila, Bris Torah, Eretz Chemda Tova Rechava, Malchus Beis David. These are beautiful, wonderful topics. Great things to mention and to appreciate. What do they have to do with benching? What do they have to do with the fact that I just ate? Why not thank Hashem for Das or Refuah or the themes of any of the other brachos Shmon Esrei during benching? Right? We discussed, 2 days ago, why Hatova Meitiv was a bracha that they were masaking into benching as opposed to into Shmon Esrei or somewhere else. But why are the things that are in benching? Why are these themes relevant? And finally, another theme that makes its way into benching is recalling the miracle of Haruge Beitar, the Bracha Vatova Meitiv. The Gemara in Brachas Mem Chesem Beis tells us that Osa Yom Sheninu Haruge Beitar Lekvura Tiknu Birch Satova Meitiv. The very day that they allowed Haruge Beitar to be buried, that's when they were Mesakein Hatov Vametiv. Hatov Shelo Hisrichu, Vametiv Shenitnu Lekvura. Hatov, that they did, the bodies didn't decompose, and Ametiv, that they were able to be buried. So after Beitar was destroyed, the Roman Caesar wouldn't allow burial of the fallen Jewish people, so 7 years later, permission was finally granted to do a kvura, and instead of finding a pile of bones, which you would have imagined they would have found at that time, or mostly decomposed flesh or wormy, whatever, they found bodies that were fully intact, and they were zocha to kvuras Yisrael. A great, great miracle. But what in the world does that have to do with benching? I'm sorry? I'll finish about 10 minutes or so. 10 minutes? 15 minutes? Okay. So the question is, why in the world is that in benching? What does that have to do with benching? So the Yisod, I think, is as follows. The Mesh Chachma tells us that in order to understand benching, which the Torah commands us to do with the words V'yachalta V'savata V'rachta, you can't take those three words out of their original context. You know, everyone knows those words. Oh, benching, it's alright, so V'yachalta V'savata V'rachta. Well, what's the context? The psukim that precede those words give us a history lesson about our travels in the Midbar and the man that we were given to eat, the clothing that remained fresh for 40 years, and even the love through which Hashem sometimes had to punish us. And Hashem then tells us that we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to enjoy the bounty of the land, you're going to eat and you're going to be satiated, and then you're going to be Mevarech Hashem. So the preceding psukim are about all that we went through in the Midbar, everything that happened, and the man, and the way we ate in the Midbar, and all the miracles that occurred to us in the Midbar. Then we're told about what it's going to be like in Eretz Yisrael, that we're going to eat and we're going to bench, and then the psukim that follow it tell us, don't become arrogant, don't forget that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim and fed you in the Midbar. And we have to always remember that, V'amata b'lvavcha, kochi v'otzim yadi asa liyas ha'chayil azev, v'zacharta as Hashem elokecha, ki hu anosin l'cha koach lazos chayil. When you start to think to yourself, it's kochi v'otzim yadi, that it's all about you, and that you've accomplished, and that you've done so, remember, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Meshech Chachma points out, that the primary purpose of Birchas HaMazon is not thank you. It's not a polite, you know, thank you Hashem. It's to reorient ourselves, to keep ourselves in check at a time when we're likely to become drunk with our own power, with our own sense of self-accomplishment. It's the antidote to V'ram Levavcha V'Shachachtas Hashem Elokecha, based on context. That's what benching is about. It's not someone gives you something and, you know, very quick, oh, thank you so much. You know, no. It's that you think you're something, you think you've accomplished something. Remember, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And based on that, with that hashkafa of what benching is about, you could easily understand what the problem with the Kal V'Chomer of the Gemara is. Birchsan doesn't isn't about saying thank you. If you have to thank Hashem afterwards, we should certainly thank Hashem before eating the food that we just received. The Kal V'Chomer is good. Birchsan doesn't is about remembering who we are and Hashem's role in our lives at a time where we are most at risk of forgetting. There is no Kal V'Chomer. Certainly, it only makes sense to say Birchsan Mazan when you feel visavata. That's when V'ram Levavcha. That's when V'shachachta. When a person, you know when a person doesn't forget Hashem? When they need something. When they're desperate for something. A person forgets to daven when they feel like they have everything. When you're in a sense of a savata, that's where you don't daven with the same kavana. I remember Rabbi Kamenetsky told us, he asked Rabbi Mendel Bachman, how do I get high school kids to daven? He said, take them on a trip to Sloan Kettering. Let them see that there are people that don't have the things that they take for granted. And then, it's not just high school, anybody. A person only davens, or is most likely to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life, when they feel that they're missing something. Visavata is the most logical time that you need to bench. Bracha Rishona, therefore, remains only a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan. And the second bracha begins, Noda Lecha Hashem Elokeinu, Al Shinchata Lavaseinu Eretz Chemda Tova Rechava, Val Shatisanim Eretz Mitzrayim, Shatisanim Beis Avadim. The mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim comes directly from our Pesukim. It's not just Stam, we're throwing in Yetzias Mitzrayim into benching. That's what the Pesukim said. V'ram Levavcha V'shachachta Hashem Elokecha Motziyacha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'Beis Avadim. That's where our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was created. We have to remember the kindness of Hashem and not allow our arrogance to get the best of us. And that's why we mention specifically Eretz Yisrael, Mila, Torah, Malchus Beis David, gifts that are totally unique to the Jewish people. They're all a reflection of a special bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Yeah, Refuah is important and Parnassus is important, but Gayim get that too. It's not something unique to Klal Yisrael. But Mila, Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Malchus Beis David, these are ours. That's Torah is Morasha Kilus Yaakov. Mila is a bris that marks us as loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz Yisrael is the land that's waited for the Jewish people for all these years. And that explains the miracle of Haruge Beitar and why it made its way into benching. It was a miracle that came at a very terrible time. After Churban HaBayis, the She'eris HaPleita stayed in Beitar. When they were killed, the Romans sent everybody to Galus. This was also a moment of questioning our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu still going to be there? And by performing that small miracle, Hashem was telling us that even, can you just like lower that or shut it? That by performing that small miracle, Hashem was telling us that even when the foundations of our relationship seem to be crumbling, or at least don't seem like as evident, he's still there. He's still with us, and he's going to help us through the long galus. He's going to keep that land waiting for us. The Romans, the Byzantines, the Christians, the Turks, the Muslims, the British, the Arabs, they're all going to fail at building this land. And then Klal Yisrael is going to come in 1948, and all of a sudden, the land is going to start flourishing. When the Jewish people come back, the land is built. And that fits the theme of Birch Samazan, just to remember that Hashem, to remember Hashem at a time that we might otherwise forget, whether we forget from abundance of prosperity or you forget from abundance of suffering, one way or the other. So, you know, it's an important message, this whole idea of remembering our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically at a time where we're likely to forget, but mostly to appreciate then all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. The Jewish people have had times of Geula and many, many, many more times of Galus. And we're living in times right now where it doesn't take a great deal of Emunah to sense Geula. Meaning, it's not so much of a leap to see how things are lining up, to see how a land is being built in a way that hasn't happened in thousands of years, how Jews from all over the world are converging upon Eretz Yisrael, how the major Torah centers of the world are now in Eretz Yisrael, b'mechila to Lakewood, but, you know, Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim, and, you know, just the sheer numbers of people that are learning Torah, you know, that it's universally recognized in Eretz Yisrael what a square bereka means and what a triangle bereka means. You know what I'm saying? Like, that Torah has built its way into the culture of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't take much to, like, make that leap and see, like, especially with everything going on outside of Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz. It doesn't take much to see, you know, the footsteps of Geula in place over here. Just need to open up your eyes a little bit. I mean, last year, Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita, he goes to Eretz Yisrael every summer just to learn, you know, peace and quiet. And he wrote an email to his shul last year describing his feelings as he was in Eretz Yisrael. This year, of course, he wrote an email saying how terribly depressing it is to know that the doors of Eretz Yisrael are closed and we're on the wrong side of it. But last year he wrote that as he stood on Har HaZeisim, I'll read you his email, he said, "I stood on Har HaZeisim and looked toward Yerushalayim. I have a new understanding of a Nevuah of Zechariah. As you may know, from Har HaZeisim you can clearly see the Har HaBayis and the domes of shame. But I saw much more. As far as the eye could see, to the left and to the right, north and south, there is a panorama of new homes and yeshivas. The eye can also see from miles eastward, beyond the old city. For a moment, I felt like Moshe Rabbeinu, feeling the joy of gazing into the land from the top of the mountain. I saw thousands, perhaps 10,000 buildings and apartments in one exciting moment. Arab East Jerusalem is dwarfed by a tidal wave of our new, elegant, tall, and holy buildings. The long-exiled children of Yerushalayim are coming back. When I was born, the mountains that neighbor Yerushalayim were empty. Shualim Holchuba. 60 years ago, there were only scattered neighborhoods with small buildings, and now there are more Jews within my vision today than there were in all of Israel a century ago. Far more! I swelled with pride as I looked around me again and again. I could barely contain myself." And he goes on to describe the future splitting of Har HaZeisim and how it's starting to make sense. And he signs off the letter, not sincerely, not biadidus, but simply in love. A Jewish neshama has this connection to Eretz Yisrael. I guess my message to you, the reason I'm mentioning all this now, is that you're about to, you know, it was taken from you, this opportunity to spend a full year of learning in Eretz Yisrael. For the large majority of you, this was something that was taken from you. The virus and, you know, and I count myself among them, the nervous parents who thought you'd be better off at home, you know, we made you come home. And then once you were home, we kept you home. And we had no choice at that point. But you can't deny that there was something that was lost in all of that. And, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite kindness, has given you the opportunity to go back and to learn, but not just to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Learning in Eretz Yisrael is an entirely different thing. When you're learning in Eretz Yisrael, you're really actively participating in things that Gedolei Torah dreamt about for thousands of years. You are their dreams. You are what they were dreaming about. That there can be young men going to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah, you know, Yomam V'layla, and build up the land spiritually, and build yourselves up spiritually while in Eretz Yisrael. You listen to Gedolei Torah of our generation, to how Rav Yisrael Reisman talks about it, and you see, like, someone who has a sense of what the Nevi'im were Misnavei about. You have a real sense of what this means historically, what this means in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should all be zocha to take full advantage of that, and to grow in your learning, to grow in your midos, and to grow in your avas haTorah and avas Eretz Yisrael. And Bez Hashem, we should all join you very, very soon. Okay, David is waiting for me, so I'm going to say.